This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hi, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman in his... Oh, I actually thought you had an ugly Christmas sweater on for a moment, Carl.
It is an ugly Christmas sweater.
You have to be careful when you tell people that because they might really like that sweater.
It's a Star Wars ugly Christmas sweater.
Ah, nice. So it's not ugly to you. It's got Darth Vader on it.
But he's saying humbug and... Mary Sithmas.
Humbug. You got to say that in the James Earl Jones voice, Carl. Or it doesn't sound right. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, welcome in. We're glad you're with us this morning. We got the show, I believe, live up on Facebook. Yep. The socials are all up. I don't see Kimberly St. Ange yet, but that's okay.
Joining now, I will be chatting with people, so jump on the there Mark Cox Show on Facebook.
She will be joining us shortly. And as you can hear from my voice, here we go again.
Week three.
Well, the end of week two. I mean, honestly, tomorrow will mark two full weeks since my voice has been questionable at 5 a.m. every morning. I honestly don't know what's going on. I don't. I'm on every possible medicine that you could be on for something like this, and it continues to linger. So my hope for you this holiday season is that none of you get this, because it's like the bubonic plague. It's going to plague you for weeks, and it's no fun, honestly. Cough medicine at night seems to help a little bit, but then I wake up in the morning, I drink coffee, I eat a scone this morning on the way in, thinking that might, you know, like It might clear out my vocal cords as I'm on the way in. Nothing.
Of all things, a scone is what you turn to. You know what will help this frog in my throat? A good old scone.
Our lovely neighbors brought that over as a Christmas treat, a bag of scones that are some of the best ones I've ever eaten. So I just snagged one on the way out the door this morning. It's what's convenient, Kim. It wasn't intentional. It was just convenient.
Not necessarily healthy either.
Yeah, not hell. I mean, not necessarily. I don't know what it's made of. It's sweet.
That's why I don't bake. I actually enjoy baking, but I don't bake because I want to eat all of it. If I have something, I'm too lazy to go get it myself at the store, but if it's sitting there on the counter, it's game over.
What would you like tomorrow, Kim?
I don't know.
Baking is always better when somebody else does it. Like, look at me, for example. I slaved over that coffee cake this morning that I brought in.
And it's wild that it has the Dierberg sticker on it. Do you have some of those at home? They look
Actually, just like the real ones. It's Schnucks.
Oh,
but thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We appreciate that, Mark. So hopefully between the scone and this, your frog will be gone.
I went to Schnucks yesterday for the fam, and I thought, hey, while I'm here, I'm in the bakery, I'll just grab something for breakfast tomorrow morning.
For tomorrow.
Why is that, Carl? What's tomorrow?
Because today is Kimberly St. Ange's birthday eve.
Well, then we'll have to bring something different in tomorrow, then, won't we?
That's why I asked her what she wanted, and she won't say.
Mark's like, oh, crap.
Oh, crap. Thanks, Carl.
Just take it back to your desk, Mark, and pretend I didn't see it.
You guys will not get any of that. All right. You know what? Never a dull day. Donald Trump holds a big news conference yesterday.
75 minutes,
answered every question. It was just typical Trump and taking all questions. So refreshing, given the fact that we currently have somebody in the White House that's not quite sure where he is or what day it is, except he knows that he and Kamala Harris aren't quite done yet as they try to hand out pardons and money to all of their friends before they leave office. No doubt about that. We had that school shooting in Wisconsin. We've found out a few more details about that. Stuff the mainstream media is generally not reporting, of course, because it deals with the school shooting and they want it to be about the gun instead of the psychopathic teenager who nobody seemed to be aware of, despite the fact that she had a manifesto on her social media. Nobody seemed to know she was a threat. It's unbelievable. But first, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment.
Trump would not say, though, whether or not he's gotten a briefing on this yet. I would assume he's getting daily presidential briefings at this point, and he's not revealing any details. If he says they know what it is, but he won't say what it is.
Well, here's something. Joe Biden is like, he's like really like progressed.
Yeah, that's undercover video. It's a little hard to hear the audio, but that is a National Security Council member, not a member. He's a staff member. And he's commenting on the fact that they all know within the administration that Joe Biden has completely lost his noodles and makes random calls to people and doesn't remember why he called them.
I knew what I was doing, asking her to be my vice president. I knew her. I knew of her. I knew about her. I knew her record. I trusted her. Purpose and integrity. And she always will. And you're not going anywhere, kid, because we're not going to let you go.
Where does he think she's going to stay? Is he going to, like, hide her in a closet at the Naval Observatory? Like, maybe the first comments he's directed toward her since she lost the election. He completely ignored her at the Kennedy Center honors. Wouldn't even look at her. And then yesterday he said he's keeping her around. He's going to keep her in the closet or maybe in the garage with the Corvette.
Police say the shooter, armed with a handgun, opened fire, killing a teacher, a student, and injuring six other students, including two who remain in life-threatening condition.
Yeah, that horrible situation up in Madison, Wisconsin yesterday. You know, I watched this thing, and you can almost tell immediately. I hope my friends in law enforcement don't get too mad at me for saying this, but you can almost tell immediately when the chief of any given police organization, you know, it's Madison, Wisconsin, it is a hotbed of liberalism up there. So if the police chief's job, as it is in a lot of cases, is one that is political because you have to be hired by the, you know, whatever insane clown posse got elected in that liberal bastion, it's probably a reflection of the liberal policies of the city and the mayor. That's what this police chief fits. Like, immediately on the defensive when somebody pointed out that this person was on several social media sites about cross-sexuality, right? And immediately got defensive when somebody asked that question. But the point is, they don't want to discuss motive. I understand that maybe the first day of the shooting. But when somebody confronts you with something that all you need are two eyes and a brain to see on the kid's own social media, mm-hmm. Don't act like it's not real. This was a mentally disturbed teenage girl who expressed not transsexuality. She I don't think she identified as a boy, but she hated men. She thought all men should be wiped off the face of the earth. She said it on her social media. I'm not making that up. Let's not act like this was another tragic mass school shooting caused by a gun.
Well, she also had the cover photo on her ex profile is a picture of a church burning.
Yes. And the Columbine shooters on her social media, where it was her homepage. A picture of the Columbine shooters, a picture of her holding a handgun, probably the one used in the shooting. What was she doing with it? It wasn't legal for her to have it. And then the posts about her hatred of men. What will be really interesting is to find out who the victims are.
So assuming this is the correct account that I have, because I was looking at this last night, I was able to see the posts, and there was one really cryptic one that looked, it was looking at a downward angle of shoes. It looked as though maybe she was in the school's bathroom before the shooting, because it said 8 hours ago, and this is last night when I was looking at it, and she was, you know, making almost a gesture with her hand, kind of being like, let's go. Well, now as I'm looking at it this morning, it says these posts are protected. So I'm assuming this is, in fact, the correct one and not some fake account that people have already made and that now the authorities have taken all the tweets down or at least made it where we can't see it.
No, the
they've locked it.
CNN has already reported, well, they're interviewing the family, but they won't say anything about whether the family is speaking to motive. The family might bear some responsibility here. I'm sorry if this is where I kind of draw the line. You can be the most hands-off parent you want. If in today's world you don't know what your child's doing on social media, you are part of the problem. Don't use "I'm too old, I don't understand it" as an excuse anymore. I've been talking about this on this show for 10 years now. Just like I've been telling my kids, everything you do on social media lives with you forever. It'll never go away. An employer will find it someday. Don't do anything stupid. As a parent, you have to be aware of what your children are doing on social media. And if these parents didn't know that their kid was flashing a handgun on social media and threatening to kill all men, they're part of the problem. So I'm sure more details will come out about this. The police chief up there is intentionally slow walking it because, just like hiding the manifesto in Nashville, they don't want it to be what it's going to end up being, because that distracts from the narrative that it's another mass shooting at a school. This is an isolated incident with a kid that, I don't know if she was bullied or not, she was clearly nuts.
I thought I heard she was on puberty blockers.
And well, I don't know. I didn't hear that. And nobody has... Nobody wants to admit it. What a shame. What a jacked up world we live in. It really is. All right, let's get to a quick break. Carl,
Mark,
he's got our national anthem.
It's the last Blues game before Christmas, so Jeremy Boyer, someone's going to text him right now, and he says, "Damn it, you guys wake me up every time you do this.
It's too early."
Hi, Jeremy.
Can you comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports? It seems like the American people have a big distance.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows, and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it. Something strange is going on. For some reason, they don't want to tell the people, and they should, because the people are really, I mean, they happen to be over Bedminster, one another, too. They're very close to Bedminster. I think maybe I won't spend the weekend in Bedminster. I've decided to cancel my trip. I don't want to comment on that.
I don't know why he wouldn't comment on it. Are you getting intelligence briefings on the drones? If he is, then he knows what the government knows. And if he's not, then he doesn't. But he claims that they know exactly what it is. I'm just so confused
but
by that
we'll
whole
neither
thing.
Confirm nor deny anything.
Well, he's not going to, let's put it this way, he's not confident enough to go spend the night at his own golf course because he knows drones have been seen over top of it. But if you listen to people like that idiot governor up there, New Jersey, Phil Murphy, he'll tell you, half of these have been airplanes. These are misidentified. We're on top of it. We understand people are concerned. There's nothing to be worried about. If you know there's nothing to be worried about, tell me why there's nothing to be worried about.
I agree. Trump's spot on, in my opinion, because I was not convinced at first that there was nothing nefarious going on. I thought this could have been potentially an enemy. But the fact that they've been allowed to continue flying for about a month now, to me, indicates the federal government is behind this and they know exactly what's going on and they're not telling us. There's something really sketchy about it. Why would they allow all these drones to go after a Coast Guard boat? Weren't they spotted in California and at least a couple other states, right?
Did you hear the theory about the dirty bomb?
I don't think so.
Detection. So I've read this and I don't know how true it is, that the government is behind this. And that it's part of an effort, they don't want to tip off our enemies, but it's part of an effort to test a system of drones that are designed to fly over ports and detect radiation signatures in the event that a foreign adversary or terrorist group was trying to sneak some sort of suitcase-sized thermonuclear weapon into the United States to set it off. That's one theory that they don't want everybody to know what our technology is, but that's kind of, this is a test of that. And that's why you're seeing these drones up and down the East Coast in certain areas.
I could see that making sense. My question would be, first of all, why do you need 40, 50 of these drones in order to test that technology? And the other question would be, wouldn't there be something the federal government could tell us where it would at least put some of these fears at ease for a lot of people, in particular New Jersey, to say, hey, look, this is us, but we're I don't know what they would say, but wouldn't there be something?
I want to play devil's advocate just for a minute, because you know I'm never going to defend the Biden administration. But let's say, for example, that they had a serious tip, a serious reason to believe that somebody in Hamas had managed to get their hands on one of these weapons and had put it on a boat and it was headed for the United States. If they admitted that, they would cause mass panic. So the easier way to deal with it would be to put up the technology, if you had it, and start scanning boats and ports to see if you could find it before it went off. Now, the risk is if it goes off and you didn't tell anybody and it kills 100,000 people, you bear that responsibility. I'm not saying I know that's what it is. I'm just speculating why they wouldn't release it unless it's some sort of national security risk. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out soon enough, because I think Trump will tell us.
I do.
On January 20th at around noon.
I think we should find out most of this. I do believe that.
All right, coming up, we'll get to Kim on a whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
You know how weird that feeling is when you leave the house, even if it's just to go run a really quick errand, and you realize you've forgotten your phone?
You feel like you're on an island in the middle of the Pacific for however long you're gone. Seriously.
It's true. It, all of a sudden, places that I've gone every single day for 2 years, I'm like, wait a minute. Do I remember how to get there? What's my number? What's my husband's number? And I even know it by heart. But it's like you start questioning everything.
It's worse, though.
What if there's an emergency?
It's worse for the younger generation, Kim, the generation after you.
Gen Z, right, because they've grown up with
all
this technology.
Lost. I can find my way all over St. Louis pretty much without a phone, because I grew up reading maps. And I know St. Louis better than my wife. I tease my kids about it all the time. They are lost. When Verizon service went out that day and my wife and daughter could not access GPS, they freaked out.
But it's not just that. I look up so much stuff on my phone. I'm one of those people who will doom scroll on social media. It's all the things. It's having accessibility to a phone and to be able to text message people. Right. I mean, how often do you watch a movie or a show and you actually put your phone down and never touch it for the entire duration of that movie?
Never.
Let's say it's one of those 3-hour ridiculously long movies. For whatever reason, we will still be on our phone. I don't know what it is about that. I don't remember ever doing that a handful of years ago, but now I'll find myself doing it. And I'm thinking, Kim, you are watching something. Why do you need to be almost have a double source of entertainment? Put the dang phone down. This story, Ethan actually found this story, and I thought it was really interesting. This is in the UK, but this could certainly be implemented here. They did this experiment for 21 days where they had 12-year-olds and these teachers at this school lock their phones away and devices in a box. So for 21 days, they had to see how it would have an impact on them. You're thinking 12-year-olds? Well, listen to this statistic. It says in the UK, more than 90% of 11-year-olds and almost half of the nation's 9-year-olds own a smartphone, while a fifth of the nation's 3- and 4-year-olds have their own device.
Now, wait a minute. They don't own it. They were gifted it by their parents.
True. You're right.
Which means it could be taken away.
It could be taken away, but how often does that really happen?
Never.
Probably not. At the start of this experiment, some of the 12-year-olds admitted they go on their phone for as many as 10 hours a day during the school holidays. 38% of the group said they use their phone more than 4 hours a day, and then 17% said that they use their phone more than 6 hours a day. I'll be the first to admit that daily screen report that you get on Sundays is really depressing.
It's disturbing.
This would be really hard for me. Not having my phone in the car if I'm driving somewhere is a really jarring feeling. I can't imagine not having it for a day or 2 days or, oh my gosh, 21 days. But I want you to listen to some of these students, because what they did was they had these researchers monitor the students' sleep, mood, attention span, and any symptoms of depression and anxiety while this experiment was going on.
I'm like, that's kind of crazy.
Whilst a smartphone-free existence has its challenges, many of the kids are now starting to feel the benefits.
I'm a lot more active than usual. We've been playing like board games, going out for a bit, and just having fun.
I've quite enjoyed not having a phone, and I've really enjoyed like being more sociable.
When I'm coming home and sort of spending more family time, when I look at a phone, it just seems a bit weird, really.
My sleep's better. I think I'm more sociable, concentrate better, and sleep better. Like, in lessons, I don't know why, but I'm more focused.
I have felt less anxious without my phone. I haven't had any anxiety or panic attacks. I think it's gone really well not having a phone.
Isn't it crazy a lot of people turn to their phone if they're, say, feeling anxious because they think that will help? Or I'll also admit that when I can't sleep, sometimes I will look at my phone, and I know that they say, well, don't do that because the light's terrible for you. But sometimes when I can't seem to shut my brain off, sometimes I'll tell myself, well, if you just look at something that's kind of mindless, it will at least distract me and get me not so focused on whatever I was thinking about.
Okay.
And kind of
like reading a book
mind.
Before you go to bed.
I don't know if social media is not doing.
But social media is not designed to work that way, right? And if we can pause for a moment and just comment on how lovely those accents were.
I know.
And the little music in the background.
I sleep better and I'm not as anxious anymore.
I love that.
You don't think they like our accents, do you? We all appreciate their accents, and we think they're adorable. But do they ever look at Midwest accent, and they're like, that is so attractive and
so
cute.
I didn't get around to watching the finale of Yellowstone until yesterday with my wife. We missed it on Sunday.
I'm sorry.
And Kelly Riley is British.
Yes.
But she plays Beth Dutton as an American with a Western accent, and she's brilliant at it. I don't know how she does it. I don't know how she escapes a lifetime of linguistics and sounds like a Westerner in that show. But I don't know if they strive for that or not. I'd rather listen to their accent.
I would too. Yeah. I'm always surprised.
We left them 250 years ago.
Well, that's okay. I still like the accent.
Isn't it interesting, British people, when they sing, you don't hear their accent?
Mostly. A few of the Rolling Stones songs you pick it up on. There are a few people you pick it up on, but not many.
I'm kind of feeling like maybe for 2025, I'm not big on the whole resolution thing, but maybe for 2025.
You can learn to play guitar.
Mark, let's ask how, you know what, let me interrupt this resolution that I'm about to talk about, and let's talk about your 2024 New Year's resolution, Mark. Remind us what that was.
Was to try to get in better shape, and I did that for part of the year till I injured my shoulder. And then to learn to play guitar.
And how's that one going?
I then couldn't do because I injured my shoulder.
Oh, isn't that convenient? You couldn't do it because you injured your shoulder.
More importantly, Mark.
Can we move along?
Thumbs up, thumbs down on the finale.
Heartbreaking.
Okay.
I heard there were people not thrilled with it.
I was extraordinarily disappointed that they gave up without a fight. I expected more out of it. Let's put it that way. I don't know. I'll just say that. That shouldn't ruin it for anyone. Parts of it are exactly what I expected. I was glad about some parts of it. At the end of the day, I had a lot of questions. Let's put it that way.
Which may be explored in a new spinoff starring two of the
characters. And Taylor Sheridan, I'm sure, has one of those locked and loaded.
I'm kind of tired of all these spinoffs. Maybe I'm just being a Grinch about it. But
over.
Every show, they're coming out with, here's a spinoff, and here's
every
the prequel of the movie.
Every show I've really liked lately has Taylor Sheridan's name on it, though. I have to say that. He's a bit of a tool, but yeah.
And now, did you watch the Harrison Ford, Helen Mirren?
Right, I have not seen it yet.
Because the first episode of that dropped the other day,
I know.
Too.
I have not seen that yet. But we digress from our story here.
That's okay.
What happened with the 12-year-olds?
You heard them. They said that they were so happy and they were less anxious and they felt not as depressed. They were sleeping better. Their mood was better. They were saying their lives were improved. They said they felt like they could concentrate more. I find that, too. We think about our attention span these days and how much it's gone down, even from probably when I was a kid. Because now we see a 30-second... I mean, think about when somebody sends you a video that they recommend you watch, and it's more than 5 minutes. Let's say it's like an 8 minute long video. I'm instantly thinking, oh, 8 minutes? Eight minutes is not that long, but that's where we're at in society, where we're so used to these quick 30 second long videos, maybe a minute, 2 minutes max, and then at that point we're like, yeah, I'm not interested. You really have to catch someone's attention for them to be interested enough to watch a video beyond that.
We've become conditioned.
We have.
It's designed, the algorithms are designed to be addictive, and I'm not saying this was a member of my family, but I did witness recently a situation where somebody's access to social media was restricted for a period of time, and it resulted in abject panic. Because apparently on some of these social media, I don't know if it's Insta or what it is, you get a streak going and you have to keep it going. And it's so many days in a row that you've done this. And if you don't have it, you can't do it and you're not connected. And like, how could you do this to me? You're ruining my life kind of approach. I mean, they have absolutely captured the minds of our young children. And somebody needs to stop it.
Well, people grow up these days knowing you can become quite literally a multimillionaire by being an influencer on Instagram or YouTube. And that's what some of these kids are dreaming about doing. No longer are they saying, you know what, I really want to go to medical school and become a doctor or become a lawyer. Right. But there's quite a few, I think, when you ask them, they say, I want to become an influencer. I'm tempted for 2025 to not go on a 21-day phone detox because I couldn't do that just for our job. But I kind of want to maybe say, okay, for 2 hours a day, I won't touch my phone. Maybe I'll start small. Maybe I'll say for an hour during a set time, my phone is not near me.
Here's the other thing. Go in and turn off notifications. Try it. What attracts you to your phone in many cases is you'll look down and you realize there's a bar across the bottom of it. And maybe you've got it set to silent, but you can still see it. And you're desperate to know for self-gratification what that is. It may be something from Truth Social in my situation. We have some stupid thing set up on our Ring camera. There's a motion detector in the basement. I don't even know why I set it up, but I keep getting alerts for it.
I need to
go in and turn it off.
At our old house, we had to turn the Ring notifications off because a leaf would blow by. And
yes.
Whatever the notification sound is, and it drove us nuts. I don't need to know when a leaf is blowing by my front door. I'd like to know when there's an intruder or somebody who's coming by the door when they ring it, the doorbell, that I can run and pretend like I'm not home. That's why I want to know when someone's there. Because who actually answers the door these days? Seriously. Unless you're like someone trying to sell me something that I don't need, why else would you come to my door?
Every school district in America should try what they just tried. Every parent should try what they just tried. I believe every school district in America should ban cell phones from the building during school.
Well, they're talking about that. They're talking about not only in the United States, but in other countries around the world. They're talking about social media bans for anyone under, I believe, 16 years old.
Yes.
And restrictions on phones. I wholeheartedly support restrictions on phones in school. And now the problem is kids have those smart watches where if you're not getting them to your phone, you can get them to your watch. So you still have access to text messages and social media, all that stuff.
Yep. And I know all of the arguments against it, but I don't care. They need to figure out a way to fix that for sure. All right. Coming up a little later in the show, we are going to talk to our friend Todd Pyro. We're going to give away a couple of those Toto tickets. We got Adam Schnelting on a little later. He's the incoming Missouri Senator for District 23. Kim, we talk a lot about Amendment 3. He's already filed a bill, Senate joint resolution, that would put an answer to Amendment 3 back on the ballot for the next general election.
Good.
So we can fix this thing. And it's not abortion on demand up until birth. So we're going to talk to him about that coming up this morning at about 8:20. We'll be right back. Yesterday, I was admiring, Kim, the fact that much of the Donald Trump Presidential Museum, at least a big chunk of it, is going to be funded by media, like ABC. And I'm thinking to myself, so there was some criticism that ABC settled out of court for $15 million because George Stephanopoulos slandered, lied on the air about Donald Trump. The defense that, well, you can do that because he's a public figure. No, you can't. There's some flexibility there when it's a public figure about what you can report on, but you still can't slander or defame them, right? When the mainstream media, particularly ABC News, went on and reported that Donald Trump had been convicted of rape, ABC News said that, and Nancy Mace corrected him, said no, he wasn't. Trump's attorneys went out and sued them. And instead of going to a jury trial where they knew they could potentially lose hundreds of millions of dollars. They settled out of court for $15 million. And ABC News, Disney had to write a check. You know how painful that was for them. Out to the Donald Trump Presidential Museum Fund. So they can start building this MAGA skyscraper in downtown D.C. dedicated to Donald Trump. I don't know where they're going to build it. I'm just teasing. And then somebody went back and said, you know what? MSNBC did the exact same thing over and over and over during the last few weeks of the election. I wonder if Donald Trump's legal team is going after them as well. Well, yesterday he suggested that they're going to go after a lot of these media companies. They're going to be more active in going after a lot of these media companies who cause problems, right? Carl, go to cup 7, please.
It's coming on.
I want to expand on the defamation lawsuits. Could you see moving that to other people with individual platforms, social media influencers, people that...
Or newspapers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I think you have to do it because they're very dishonest.
Yeah. Well, the ABC thing, I don't know if it got their attention or not, but listen to this little montage of clips put together. These are all MSNBC either anchors or people commenting on MSNBC who said the exact same thing George Stephanopoulos said over and over and over again, that Donald Trump had been found liable for rape. Rape was never in that E. Jean Carroll case. It was an allegation that she claimed he sexually assaulted her in a clothing store. None of it made any sense. Trump denied it. And yet they repeated that same lie over and over and over again on MSNBC. I wonder if there's a lawsuit pending that we just don't know about. Listen. Hold on. Carl? I don't know why I say your name each time when it's my fault, but that was my fault. Here.
If you don't want to be held liable for rape like Donald Trump has, don't grab the woman's genitalia. If you don't want to be held liable for defaming the woman that you raped, don't keep lying about what you did. And
why is this convicted felon, this man has been found liable for rape, why is this ranter and raver, why is he leading in the polls?
At the end of the day, what we know from Donald Trump is that he has over 24 credible allegations of sexual assault. We know that he was found liable for rape. We know that this is somebody who has a long-standing history of being aggressive towards women.
Some lies are lies. And do you want to vote for a felon? Do you want to vote for somebody, you know, who said awful things about women, has been held liable for rape? Do you want to, you know, vote for somebody who's a conspiracy theorist?
I think it's still important to message it. I mean, I totally agree. I think, you know, it's egregious. And you know, this is now different from 2016 because he has been found liable for rape. So it's a different scenario.
Trump is unfit for office. He tried to overturn an election. That alone is disqualifying. And not to mention the fact that a court held him liable for rape, that he's a convicted felon.
I just have to say, I'll take those concerns seriously if you also express concerns about the allegations. He's been found liable for rape.
The defense rests. Why is MSNBC not now writing a check to the Trump Presidential Museum?
Hopefully soon they will be.
I didn't put that together. Somebody else offered it up, but you can bet the Trump people are well aware of it. So I hope he goes after them. So they finally learn a lesson they should have learned in journalism school a long time ago. Coming up, we'll give away some tickets to Toto. We'll talk to former Senator John Lamping about getting rid of the state income tax.
Get more at 971talk.com.